This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There you go, Sam. Sam tweeted me. He said, you said you were going out with the CBS Open. I was hanging on for it. Well, we didn't have time yet, so the game ended it for Ben. Quite the lead up. There was no better intro. 26 years. This will be the 26th and final season of the SEC on CBS. And then they go to ESPN in 2023. And the Big Ten's about to do a massive deal with Fox, CBS, and NBC. As John Orand just told us. And so in the future, we'll get that intro, I guess, Denton, before a big Maryland-Rutgers game at 3:30 on CBS. Hopefully not. Hopefully so. I don't want it to be against Rutgers. I want Maryland to be good playing Michigan in a big game. Ben Standing is our Washington football team insider. He writes for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben Standing, and you should listen to his podcast, which is excellent, Standing Room Only. Ben joins us right now. It's been a week since you and I have talked. You've been there for every single moment of every single available training camp practice, including Saturday night. But yesterday came some big news, and that was a weirdly timed firing of an assistant coach, even though I think all of us understood that there were issues with Sam Mills going back to when he first started to coach his unit. But tell us what happened and why it happened yesterday.
Yeah, very surprising. We were given a little bit of a heads up that Rivera was going to have something of note to say. We have to, as reporters, have to make decisions right after practice. So we go into the press conferences or go try to get players walking off the field. So, okay, we're there for him. And, at this point, he's already announced two players are retiring, so we don't know what's coming at this point. And then he brings out the Sam Mills firing. And like you said, it's not like it was some wacky, surprise. Where did this come from? It had been rumored, discussed. We had heard about some potential issues for some time, but to do it right now, 2 weeks into training camp, the first preseason game is just a few days away, is very odd. Rivera didn't really get into too many specifics. He mentioned philosophical differences, and obviously Sam Mills and Rivera have been together for over a decade, throughout Rivera's time at Carolina, then he brought him here. So it doesn't seem like the philosophical differences would be on their end. Rivera also said he did not consult the players for this. So, it's an interesting dynamic. Jack Del Rio is not part of Rivera's staff, of course, in Carolina. He's sort of the one difference, from that staff. And, you've got to wonder on some level, did he and Sam Mills just have sort of a bit of a difference? As, you've discussed, and I have as well, some of the players didn't take to what he was, his sort of teachings as well. They obviously had a really great 2020 where the defense was a top five unit. So, okay, you go from there. Last year things fell off, but, how much do you blame injuries to Chase Young and Montez Sweat? They obviously decided, let's see what we can do. But Rivera said he, based on the offseason program and based on what he saw in training camp, that he, that was enough. I don't know what triggered it to happen at this exact moment. Why didn't it happen weeks ago? But It's a really interesting situation.
So do you have a theory as to why it happened yesterday? I proposed or presented mine last hour. Because I don't know why it happened yesterday, but I have a theory. Do you?
I don't know if I have a theory. I mean, I guess the one thing is, like, when you were, well, and I wrote about this yesterday, when you're at practice and you watch the position drills, you know, Jeff Zuniga, who's now the new defensive line coach, he was the assistant, you know, he was the one kind of running the practices, like, which is perhaps as the role of the assistant, but it always felt like watching them that Sam Mills was sort of secondary on some level. And I the only thing I can imagine is they were just getting sort of frustrated, meaning the higher ups, that, you know, things weren't progressing the way they wanted them to, and they just decided, you know, enough was enough. But I don't know if I have a theory as to why it definitively happened on that moment beyond that.
My theory is kind of intuitive, and that is Sam Mills was, you know, away for the weekend at his father's, you know, posthumous enshrinement into the Hall of Fame. And Ron got a look at what it was like when Sam wasn't there for the first time in 2 years. And, you know, you mentioned, he mentioned that he didn't consult the players. I don't think he needed to consult the players. I think he has known what the players have thought for some time. But, you know, remember back in 2020 and even last year, it was, you know, essentially Ron saying, I don't care if you like the way you're being coached or not. You guys were 3-13. You sucked. You know, so we're going to do it our way. And Sam's been with me, and he knows what he's doing. And eventually, you know, I mean, look, if he had been fired at the end of last year, would any of us have been surprised? No, we wouldn't have, which made yesterday the timing, the actual firing not surprising, the timing was surprising. And I'm just wondering if maybe for the first time since he got here, he saw what it looked like without Sam actually running a practice.
Maybe. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, if you're watching that position
Skinny
group, you know,
it anyway.
Yeah, he's kind of the one who's sort of leading the drills. But, you know, I think unless there was something, you know, more, you know, egregious that happened, like a specific incident that happened, I think it's just independent of, like, okay, we're not surprised that Sam Mills is gone. Just to do it now, like, I'm not saying this is the world's biggest issue, but it is just one of those things. It's like, wait, what are they doing here? What, why do this right now? Like, even if Rivera said that it was partly watching the offseason and the training camp practices that made this decision, well, I mean, the offseason happened 2 months ago. Like, even doing it then would have been a little more reasonable than now, if you can, you know, promote somebody then or bring in somebody else if you wanted to in advance and get going. To do it now, 2 weeks into this, you know, I'm not saying they've wasted time, but, you know, it's just odd and weird. And, like, what is the point of doing it now? You know, where's the plan here? What's, you know, what's the thinking? And I think that's the part that, to me, is, you know, be curious to see what else we learn and just, you know, why do this?
Yeah, I personally don't think any of the players are going to lose much sleep over this. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, in various ways, you know, you've heard about this for some time. And, you know, even on the record, Rivera back in 2020, you know, I think he sort of just alluded to this, you know, said that some of the holdover players were balking at the way they were teaching them. And it was interesting that he noted that, because you don't really ever hear things like that. So off the bat, there were some issues, and it just never really got resolved.
Okay, we're talking to Ben Standing. A couple of more on this. Just Warren Sapp was at practice again. I know he is friends with Skinina, the new defensive line coach. Ryan Kerrigan's been out there as well. Do you see any official roles on the staff for either one of those two gentlemen?
Well, Rivera said nothing for now. The Sapp thing he just said was coincidental. Sapp had also been out there during minicamp. I don't know. I mean, does Warren Sapp want to really, you know, get into being an assistant defensive line coach? I don't know. And you know, I don't know if he makes sense to this organization. Kerrigan, obviously, when he retired, told us that, you know, he's interested in coaching. He's going to have a shot to see what he thinks about the grind, on the assumption that he hasn't determined that he wants to do this for real. then I think that would be, you know, a question if it, for him. And then for them, you know, Ryan Kerrigan obviously is a very good player, but you know, that's different than saying you can, you're going to be a really good coach. And he was, you know, he would be a complete, you know, rookie at this. So I don't know if that's where you want him. So I don't think there's much to do with either of those guys right now, but we'll see. I mean, they, you know, they are one person down on the staff. You know, they have like other, you know, everybody has to start somewhere, and obviously having a Warren Sapp or Ryan Kerrigan around wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I just don't know that I see that it makes a fit for them right now.
All right, we're talking to Ben Standing. Netting this part of the conversation out, the firing of Sam Mills, you know, timing, et cetera, net positive, net negative, net neutral?
Well, look, considering we've heard about some of the issues, disagreements, to a degree you could say it's a net positive, but to do it now, maybe it's not a net negative in terms of having done it. It's just more of like, what's the plan here? Why are you doing this now? Why? It feels like they react a lot to the moment. I mean, even going back to things like the Carson Wentz trade, like not knocking the player or whatever, but like, you know, it felt like part of the reason I think a lot of people had an issue with that trade was it felt like they borderline panicked a little bit, like, we got to do something here, so let's pay the Colts sticker price for a guy that we may be able to get a lot cheaper in a few days, but we're not willing to wait, like, what, you know, and it felt like maybe this is reactionary, too. Again, I don't know the exact details of what happened, but it is, I can't give them a full credit for doing something that maybe makes the most sense to do it, but the timing of it is pretty lousy. You know, look, it may mean nothing, that, you know, they get past this preseason game. You know, it's not like Skinina hasn't been here. He's been here for 3 years. Maybe it's no big deal at all. But it is still sort of curious, like, what is the deal with the timing? So I can't give it a full positive, I don't think.
All right. Let's move on to something else. Give me – we had talked about this before, about the buzz from players and coaches during the off season about Jahan Dotson and the belief that they had really gotten a player that, you know, someone told me he's the best receiver on the team. This was during some of the off-season activities. Has anything through the first couple of weeks of training camp changed anybody's mind on Jahan Dotson?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, considering he's a rookie, I mean, you know, he's been one of the more, to my layman's eyes, obviously I'm not watching tape of practice, but, you know, he's been as consistent as a performer as just about anybody out there. You know, obviously there's been a lot of discussion about Carson Wentz's ups and downs in practice. I feel like he's developed the most chemistry with Dotson to date. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with Dotson, you know, being pretty crisp out there with his routes. You know, he doesn't drop passes. I think he's looked really good. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I feel like I had Santana Moss on my podcast the other day, and I was like, look, I don't want to keep saying how good is Dotson because everybody says he's good. Tell me what he needs to work on. Could we find a flaw here? And, you know, what, you know, and he really didn't even seem to have one other than just, you know, basic, you know, just keep developing. You know, he really was impressed as well. So, yeah, I think it's just been, he's just continued to build on what we've already seen so far.
All right. Give me, other than Chase Young and Logan Thomas, give me an injury that we should be concerned about right now as it relates to the season opener against Jacksonville.
Well, I mean, you know, we're still pretty far away from the season. So, you know, the fact that like Trey Turner has been out now over a week with his quad injury, like I could say, well, this is getting concerning, but you know, if he's back at practice today and he moves forward, it's not that big of a deal. I do think that's one though to keep an eye on, in part because you know, they've moved Wes Schweitzer from center where he was replacing Chase Ruhier to guard, and you have to wonder here at some point is Wes Schweitzer not just going to get a shot to be the starting right guard? Is he just going to be the guy? You know, I think the assumption was that Trey Turner would get that, and maybe he still does, but, you know, he's been out for a while, and Schweitzer is a guy that they definitely like. So I think that's one to keep an eye on. But obviously, I think beyond that, you know, Curtis Samuel, it's not that he has an injury per se. It's just that the way they're feeling, they have to nurse him through all these practices, you know, makes you wonder, how is he going to get through an entire season? He hasn't even been hit yet, and they're feeling that they have to, you know, nurse him through this. He's saying all the right things. He looks fine when he's out there. He's saying he's fine. This is part of the plan and all that stuff. But, you know, you do have to wonder a little bit, like, if this is what you have to do just to get through practices, what's going to happen when you start getting hit out there?
Is there growing concern about the available of any decent tight ends for the opener?
Not yet. I mean, John Bates has been back the last couple of days, so that's a good sign. I think my one question on Cole Turner, and we'll see, is he's out right now with his hamstring injury. I he's a big guy at 6'6". We talk about that, but he's kind of lanky. And the play he got injured on, he took a bit of a hit on the play. And I guess I'm just going to sort of wonder about his durability. I don't have any reason to, you know, question it significantly yet, but I am kind of curious about that. But, John Bates is back. We don't have an update on Logan Thomas. Rivera was asked the other day, and he just said he's, you know, progressing, but that's about the extent of it. I'm not saying that, like, if Logan Thomas wasn't ready for week one, but you had Bates and Cole Turner, that everything's fine. But at least I think there was some hope that, okay, you have a blocker, you have a receiver, move forward. And now I'm sort of curious to see what Cole Turner's deal, how quickly does he come back, what's he look like, et cetera. And then that may give us a little better feel for, do they really, do they have enough at that position if Logan Thomas isn't ready for week one?
To the defensive side of the ball, what is the word through the first few weeks of training camp on Jamin Davis?
Yeah, I think he definitely comes across as more confident. He's looked better. I think he's been, from what I noticed, he's been better, particularly when he's like near the line of scrimmage and sort of attacking the pocket. I think, like, when we get to the preseason game, I don't know how much any of the starters will play, but he is somebody I definitely want to watch because, in training camp, the run game is not a real thing. I mean, they run the ball here and there, but, there's no tackling. It's not a real part of the dynamic. And I want to see how Jamin Davis is dealing with play action, right? I want to see how he is in coverage. He's had some good moments, but, some of the stuff with him, I feel it's more reaction and instinctive than just the athletic stuff, which obviously he's a very – he's a bit of an athletic freak. So I want to see him in game situations to really get a feel for it. I mean, in general, I think people are happy with where he's at, but to the extent, I don't know, David Mayo, when they go with a big lineup, that five defensive linemen kind of look, they're bringing Mayo in as the other linebacker with Cole Holcomb as sort of their run defense lineup. They signed this guy, Nathan Jerry, the other day. Rivera said they wanted somebody else who could run and cover. I don't think he's not playing ahead of Jamin Davis, but, it feels like that's like they wanted somebody else to help in that range. So, I'll just be curious to see what Jamin Davis' progress is when the games turn real. But I think in general, he's improved. But I think just for some of these things, it's just hard to see until you really get into a game situation.
We're talking to Ben Standing. You mentioned the five-man defensive front alignment, which we saw last year. Who right now, when they line up in five defensive linemen up front, who's the fifth defensive lineman? James Smith-Williams has been out too, but the Chase Young replacement, John Allen, Daron Payne, Montez Sweat, and then who's the fifth?
Yeah, and James Smith-Williams was back yesterday, and he was at that end. Fedarian Mathis was lining up over the nose in the five-man fronts, which would make sense. Obviously, he's the new third defensive tackle, the second-round pick. So that would make sense for sure. That's ideal. I mean, I'll be curious to see. I always thought that part of the reason they used the five defensive linemen is that was just the strength of the team. You had a guy like Matt Ioannidis, behind Allen and Payne. So get your best players kind of on the field. So I'll be curious to see, how does Mathis look? Do they feel compelled that they need to get him out there in that type of capacity? You can only, use a five defensive lineman look in certain situations. It's not really a third and long type of defense, And if you're not going to do a ton of base, if you're always going to have five defensive backs out there, you're not going to go with the five defensive linemen too much. So it's more of a niche thing. But, Mathis is that fifth guy for now.
And what is the early word on Phil Mathis? I mean, do they think they got it right? Second round pick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything is, I think, you know, just generally optimistic at this point. Ironically, I talked to Sam Mills earlier in camp, and he was really liking what he's seeing, that, you know, Mathis's reputation is more of a run guy than a pass guy, a pass rush guy, but that they saw his skills at Alabama where he's able to do that. They just wasn't always asked to do that. So I think that for sure that they like what they see. But yeah, we'll see how he does immediately coming in. You know, they're going to need him to play right away. Forget, you know, the next year thing with Deron Payne. He's got to play now because Ioannidis played a ton last year. So yeah, I think he's going to, you know, their expectations for him in terms of just playing are going to be pretty high. There is no sort of obvious other defensive tackle. Like Daniel Wise is probably going to be the extra one, and they'll play F.A. Obata inside, but there's no, it's not like last year where we always at least said, okay, at least they also have Tim Settle. Right now, not saying they don't have the odd equivalent, but it's not as obvious as it was a year ago. So they'll need Mathis. I think so far they've liked what they've seen, but, you know, rookie, it's still early, that type of stuff.
All right, before we get to Carson Wentz and a brief conversation about him, is there a player that has stood out to you in camp and you think has a chance to become kind of a next 3 week preseason, you know, name that we're talking about?
So in that vein, so sort of not like a frontline guy, but like a, you know, sort of a reserve. Well, I would say I think I'm really going to be interested to watch Dax Milne play the rest of the way here. He's made some nice catches in practice. Yesterday, he grabbed a couple from Carson Wentz, one in the end zone. I think this other one was from Wentz, but either way, he went up high between two defensive backs to make a play. But, you know, he's also one of the two guys, along with Alex Erickson, who punt is consistently returner. Back for punt returner, right? Yeah. And, you know, last year they kept seven receivers at times. A lot of that depends on what else they need on the roster. But if they only keep six, I kind of feel like Milne sneaks in as that last guy. And, you know, I think he's looked pretty good. So I'm curious to see what he can do the rest of the way here. In terms of just to give somebody on defense, you know, I think the backup cornerback situation is really interesting. Danny Johnson, who obviously has already been here, you know, he has been the fourth guy for the most part, and he's moved in with the starters without William Jackson the last few days with a hamstring issue. But then after that, you got some questions. And I think Christian Holmes and Corn Elder, you know, the preseason games will be a good shot for them. They'll get a ton of work. They'll get passes thrown their way. I mean, I think they both have had some good spots in camp, but, you know, it is a very important spot. You got to have good depth at corner, and I'll be really curious to see what they do. I will also note that Percy Butler and Derek Forrest, that's a fun battle for playing time at safety, and both of those guys will hit. And if they get the opportunity to lay out a big tackle in preseason, they're going to take it. So I think they could be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, two players that you mentioned, Dax Milne and Danny Johnson, are two favorites of the two coordinators. Milne of Scott Turner's, of Scott Turner and Danny Johnson of Jack Del Rio. We're talking to Ben Standing. All right, let's talk about Carson Wentz. You know, I think everybody's following the, you know, is he accurate enough conversation? How's he looking? Is it slow going? I'll just ask you this. Actually, before I ask you a question that I think I'm going to ask callers, and I'm just making up my, changing my mind on the call segment on the fly here. What's his performance been like? Like, what is there anybody out there, coaching-wise, player-wise, that are kind of rolling their eyes or, you know, shaking their head a little bit as to, a little bit concerned? Or is it just, you know, early in the preseason with his third team in 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anybody sort of rolling their eyes, I mean, you know, or you know, things like that. But, you know, look, I after the Saturday practice, and Wentz was another uneven throwing day for him, I flat out asked Rivera, what did he make of the inaccuracy issues? And he said, you know, that that's a little bit too strong of a statement. We don't know everything, which is 100% fair. We don't know always. Does the receiver, you know, is the receiver running the route 8 yards when it should be 9 yards, or, you know, whatever, that type of deal. But he also noted that there have been some inaccuracy issues. And I think just for him to even note that is or is the recognition that it has not been the cleanest of practices in total. And, you know, like you said, it's sort of this everyday this sort of referendum, it feels like, on what is, you know, how good is he not, when we're all reporting what's happening. Yesterday was a good day for Wentz. He was far more accurate with deep shots down the field than he has been previously. And, you know, obviously that's the hope. You want to get better. And, you know, he is just only now practicing with Terry McLaurin for the first time since the trade, right? And, you know, he's still learning everybody else. He's missing some offensive linemen, doesn't have Logan Thomas. Curtis Samuel's in and out of the lineup. The defense is going to have the advantage just generally in practices early on. So you can factor in all that stuff. But even when he's throwing against air, just through a receiver, you know, running a position drill, the passes have been off. So this is a thing that we knew about Carson Wentz, that he's not the most accurate guy. Seeing it in person is a little bit jarring. Seeing it every day, I'm not going to lie. But you also see the upside with the arm strength and, you know, when he can make a big play down the field. That's, you know, the question is, can he make enough plays down the field to offset, you know, missing a couple of passes on drives? Because otherwise, those inaccuracies are drive killers, but the big plays get you those chunk yards, and that's huge. So I don't think they're concerned yet. I don't think they're panicked. But at the same point, it's impossible to deny that he's been inaccurate.
All right. You know, I very much, other than what's, you know, injuries and what's said by coaches and astute observers like you, and I'm being serious about that, I just don't put a lot of stock into these preseason games for a lot of reasons. But I'm going to give you the question I'm going to ask callers, and we'll open up phone lines right now at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Is there anything Carson Wentz could do between now and the opener on September 11th against Jacksonville that would make you legitimately concerned about him as the starter going into the opener? Anything that can happen between over the next month? We are basically 1 month away from the opener. Could anything happen other than injury, okay, obviously, that would make you legitimately concerned about him being the starter on opening day?
Probably not more than whatever level of concern I had initially, because, you know, for me, like I always try to view these things as I see the criticism, I read the criticism, but I need to see it for myself before I officially, you know, sort of buy in. And, you know, like I said, I am seeing some of these inaccuracy issues for sure, but there's so many other variables that happen that we're not there yet in terms of how does he look in real game situations, right? Things like that. So I don't think there really is too much. Look, obviously, if he goes out in the preseason and throws interceptions every game, nobody's going to feel good about that. But, you know, we've seen teams have really good preseasons and stink in the season and vice versa. So, no, I don't think there's really much that's going to change my view at this point. It is just, you know, you're just seeing the warts in person rather than reading other people's observations about it. You know, and that's kind of the jarring part.
Yeah, Ben's seeing the warts up close and personal every day, and he's looking for some dry ice to remove them. You know, that's how they used to do it way back in the day. If you had warts, they would use dry ice and freeze them off. You know what? There was one question I forgot to ask you real quickly. Do you think this team would have any interest in Roquan Smith?
Well, I mean, I guess there's a potential for having interest. The question would be if he wants to get paid, and I didn't see what the thought was on his terms. You know, then it's like, okay, well, now who's not getting paid on this team, right? Like, that's obviously part of the game we've been dealing with Daron Payne, and they just paid McLaurin. If Carson Wentz stays, if he has a good year, he's at least on the books for $26 to $27 million next year. Then next year, you got to probably have to pay Montez Sweat if you're keeping him. So, you know, I think it just becomes an issue of, you know, who are you paying and not. And, you know, obviously, if they want Jamin Davis, or they're hoping Jamin Davis improves and does enough to thrive, then that's not, you know, they've got somebody. So I would say they'd, you know, be interested, but I just wonder if they think they can pay him.
Yeah. Thank you for this. Appreciate it as always. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, man. Thanks. See you.
Ben Standing, everybody, our Washington Football Team insider. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Is there anything Carson Wentz could do in these preseason games, all right, you got three of them starting Saturday afternoon, that would make you legitimately concerned about him going into the opener? We're not talking about injuries. You know, we're not talking about some hobbled ankle. We're talking about anything he could do performance-wise in these preseason games that would make you legitimately concerned. I'll give you my answer. I want yours at 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also always live and free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Our phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Is there anything Carson Wentz could do during the preseason games, which starts Saturday at home against Carolina, that would legitimately concern you? I'm not talking about, you know, being hobbled by an injury. I'm talking about performance on the field. Like, let's just say he goes out against Carolina Saturday and throws two picks in the first two series before taking, you know, a seat. And then in the next game against Kansas City, throws for a buck 15 with a 50% completion percentage with an interception and no touchdowns. Is there anything that would legitimately concern you? The answer for me is absolutely not. There's nothing that could happen in any one of these three preseason games that would legitimately cause concern. My concerns are already noted before preseason begins. I want to make sure that Carson Wentz is the leader that they need at the most important position on the field. I already know he can make throws that Taylor Heinicke and Alex Smith in previous years couldn't. They've already got a legitimate NFL arm, a guy that can make all the NFL throws, a legitimate playmaker at the position as well, but a guy that isn't always accurate and makes very interesting decisions sometimes that don't work out well. Sometimes on third and 12, you just got to take the check down and punt. You can't throw an underhanded, left-handed, you know, chuck sideways out of the end zone on third and 12 that gets picked and returned. You know, it's that those are the kinds of things, and we're not going to see those things until the regular season, if he's improved upon those things or not. You know, I'm excited as far as Carson Wentz having a different supporting cast than he's had recently. Maybe the best supporting cast, you could make the case, at receiver anyway, in terms of the pass catchers that he's had. If everybody's fully healthy, Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas being fully healthy. But no, there is nothing that Carson Wentz could do in any of these three preseason games that would make me think, oh my God, we're in trouble. They are preseason games. They are without game planning. He is still getting used to his third system in 3 years, third coaching staff in 3 years, third terminology and playbook in 3 years, third group of teammates and receivers in 3 years. It's going to take some time. And without game planning, you're really not going to learn much at all during the preseason. You may say, well, you know, he's making some of the same bad decisions he's made during the course of his career, and he's doing it in the preseason games. It shows he hasn't learned. I would be much more concerned if I heard concern from Ron Rivera, Scott Turner, and others after the games or during the week. That would be it, not based on what I'm watching on the field. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Is there anything that Carson Wentz could do over the next 3 weeks of preseason games that would cause you legitimate concern heading into the opener against Jacksonville? Terrence, go ahead. Kick it off for us. Go.
Hey, good morning, Kevin, man. Hope you're having a good morning so far.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I agree with you, man. absolutely nothing, particularly, of course, in the preseason. You know, I feel like there's, like, much to do about nothing here. I've never in my, I guess, almost 40 years now, recall there being such a referendum on a quarterback in OTAs and in camp like this before. I think it's just a condition of our culture here in D.C. being so desperate for.
I think any time a team has a new quarterback, Terrence, I think the same thing happens in NFL cities when there's a new quarterback at the helm.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, I think we were doing a lot of the same stuff with Ryan Fitzpatrick last summer and the same stuff with Dwayne Haskins, you know, 2 years prior to that. I mean, when you have
You don't think it's because we've had, you know, we've been so desperate for trying to find that guy that we're just kind of just hypersensitive to everything at this point? I mean, look at his best seasons, maybe 2017, 2019. His completion percentage was like in the mid-60s at best. I mean, this is who he is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he was 25th, I think, last year in completion percentage, but he had a year, I think, in 2018 or 2019 when he was through 69%, something like that, but whatever. I'm just saying I think the quarterback position, especially when it's new to an NFL franchise, and maybe it's heightened here because it's been forever since we've had a legitimate one, but right. I just think when you have a new quarterback, there's excitement around the new quarterback, and there is a day-to-day, you know, breakdown of performance. Now, you use the word referendum. I think, you know, this is a referendum on Ron Rivera year because he picked Carson Wentz as the guy to get him out of this thing and to start a run of seasons where they are contending. So, you know, we'll find out if he was right about that. But for Carson Wentz, it's already been said by people around the league that this is a massive year for him, and it may be his last chance to prove that he's a legitimate NFL starting quarterback. So
I've heard
thanks,
that. I think that's fair as well.
Yeah.
But I would say real quick, man, just give him three games. Just give him the first three games.
How about
the regular
eight
season.
Or nine, really? I mean, It's a new team. It's a new group. I'm not going to – look, I say this, and you'll call me out on it in week three after they, you know, lose to the Eagles and he throws three picks against his former team. But it's going to be hard for me to really come down on him and be conclusive, in my opinion, until I've seen half of the games at least. You got to give him time to acclimate to his third team in 3 years. You know, third group of people, this is going to take time. Thanks, Terrence. Let me move on. I got some other callers. JYD, go ahead.
Good morning. How you doing, my man?
What's up, JYD?
Well, based on what you – but the question that you asked, there's not too much that, you know, that he can do in the preseason that would garner us to say, you know, oh, look out. But I'm going to be looking for most of all, first of all, because of certain things I've heard only through the news, is that how does he connect with his teammates on the sideline? How does he connect, you know, his mannerisms, his facial expressions, a quarterback is a leader. So you, before you start talking about passes and all like that, first I want to see his connect with his teammates.
Yeah, but we're not going to know that unless things are said negatively about him. Because when people are overly positive, that's the default answer. That will be the answer for most of this year. You know, it's when the team results start to go sour where you start to get big reveals about what's going on behind the scenes. But I think you're right.
Then there's nothing that he can do
exactly
in the preseason,
exactly
that can give us it, you know, to say, oh my God, or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, we know what he's done in the past.
Yeah.
We're not going to know anything until starting with the Jacksonville game and throughout the season.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think, look, your point about, you know, look, this has been part of the, you know, narrative on him, part of the criticism of him, why Philadelphia and Indy have decided to move on from him, is relationships, leadership, you know, being a part of it, being coachable. You know, all of these things are important, and we're not going to learn any of those things during the preseason unless there's some big dust-up and you get, like I said, unless some coach comes out and says something that's alarming, I'd be shocked if anybody does anything other than give you the most positive outlook on this quarterback until the season is dead and gone, and then you start to find out where the bodies are buried on 2022, if it comes to that. It seems like it always comes to that with this organization. I think offensively they're going to be okay this year. Steve, go ahead. Is there anything that Carson Wentz could do over the three preseason game schedule that would cause you legitimate concern on him heading into the regular season?
Yeah, it kind of echoes, I think, what the previous caller said. The only thing I could imagine is if Carson Wentz were to grumble, say things, make comments, or do something questioning the offense that's being run, and it somehow leaks into the locker room or it gets into the press, and then Ron has a meeting with him and that goes sour, and you know, his sort of tough, you know, overbearing demeanor clashes with Wentz, you know, in that situation, and then Wentz, who tends to be a bit hard-headed, it's something goes bad there. That's the only way I could see something happening, but I think that's a stretch. I think that's an absolute stretch. But in my mind, the Commanders might want to send a message and say, look, we're in charge and you're going to run the offense that we want to run. I don't care what you did in the past. That's the only thing I could see happening. The only thing is this is really Wentz's last chance to come in and be the starter without really having to compete for it, right? And he knows that. So I don't anticipate anything, but that's the only thing I could see happening that would turn this thing sour before the first game.
I just think it's – I mean, as I'm listening to you, in how many NFL cities does somebody lay out that kind of story? you know, but we're used to those kinds of stories, and they happen here where, you know, something from behind the scenes and somebody leaks something and it's not good, and then the coach has to respond to it and all of that. Hopefully, for their sake, you don't get any of that over the next over the next month. And we sail into the Jacksonville opener with a full cup of optimistic in it heading into the opener. And I think that's the way it will be. I just don't think we're going to learn anything about Carson Wentz or this team until we start watching real games. Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate it. Couple of things to finish up on, including what the new Denver owner said about the commissioner. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So yesterday there was an owners' meeting in Minnesota, and they approved the Walton ownership of the Denver Broncos. Rob Walton and his group of investors, that includes his daughter, Carrie Walton Penner. Carrie Walton Penner. Rob Walton is the one of the sons of Sam Walton, the actual original owner of and founder of Walmart. And his daughter, Carrie Walton Penner, is the granddaughter of Sam Walton. I think that's the way it works. She, by the way, is somebody that people around here know. I just know that because I've heard her name mentioned before. I think she went to Georgetown. I think that's right. I could be wrong. But it's Rob Walton, her father, and then her and her, I guess, husband that are part of the new owners. They were approved by the owners, and Rob Walton took the podium to express his gratitude towards the commissioner.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell, we're just so excited. I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
Yeah, old Commissioner Goodell, who, by the way, when he sat before Congress in late June, I can't remember the dopey congressman or congresswoman who called him Commissioner Goodell as well, but there were a couple of Goodell references. When you are a new owner, it'd be nice to know how to pronounce your commissioner's last name. But when you're a Walton and you're worth billions and billions of dollars, and he will become one of the richest owners in all of sports, I would imagine one of the richest next to the Clippers owner, the Microsoft guy whose name is escaping me right
now.
Steve Ballmer. I think Steve Ballmer is the wealthiest owner in sports. I think that's true. I might be wrong about that, but I think he's up there certainly, and Rob Walton will become part of that. But I guess when you're a Walton, it really doesn't matter if you mispronounce the commissioner's name. Denver, man, you know, Denver's one of those teams this year. I mean, he's got, in his first year of ownership, he's got Russell Wilson as the quarterback with a pretty damn good supporting cast. They should be a good football team in one of the best top-to-bottom divisions on paper we have ever seen in the NFL, the AFC West. By the way, Roger Goodell yesterday said the league is seeking a much tougher penalty for Deshaun Watson because of the quarterback's, quote, egregious and predatory behavior, which is exactly what Sue L. Robinson, the disciplinary officer for the NFL, called it before giving Watson the six-game suspension. They have formally appealed it. And that appeal will be heard. I would imagine that somehow he'll end up getting more than six games when all is said and done. All right, we are done for the day. Thanks to John Orand, who was great. Ben Standing, great as always. Denton Day was our producer today. Brendan's on vacation. Back tomorrow. Pete and Chris are up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.